It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tell me what to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live from the Living Crowd Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. And by the way, you know, as we get started here, listen, as you're watching us live on several channels, three Facebook channels, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter, listen, feel free to send in your questions. We love to have your questions, especially as we have guests on. And if we can answer those questions for you, we will. If we can't, we will keep your name, and we will get back to you, and we will find the answer if we can't answer it for those questions for you right now. So, it's easier for me to say. I'm just telling you that right now. My first guest, as we have every week, right, we kind of do the same thing every week. We kind of talk about the market, what's going on, and then we have three other guests. Well, my guest has returned, and his name is Dwayne Reese. He is the listing and buyer specialist with Linda Kraft, the Team Realtors. And so, Dwayne, first of all, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jay. Good to be here.
Dwayne, we talk about doing the market update, but really what we're talking about is different aspects of the market. And so you bringing something different to the market today. So what is it that you want to talk about when it comes to the market?
You know, on the market update this week, Jay, I want to focus on new construction.
Okay.
All right. So the market is definitely shifting in the resale, but it is definitely shifting in new construction as well.
Okay.
We talked the last time I was with you, we talked about how the market had been a sprint for a long time, and it had kind of slowed to a 5K.
Right,
not all that unusual.
Right.
Anybody that's watching this podcast with us today can tell that you and I have very different hobbies, right?
Right.
I've been a lifelong runner.
Right.
You have been a lifelong weightlifter.
Weightlifter, yeah.
You were lifting weights when you were growing up on the farm in Nebraska.
I was lifting weights.
Right? And so the reason I mention that is that's a great analogy for the new construction market right now.
Okay. Right?
And here's why. If you look back over the 2 years of the pandemic.
Okay.
New construction was still booming. It was still going strong, but the new construction builders were decidedly in the driver's seat.
Right.
They were bodybuilders, and they could sling the buyer and the buyer's agents around.
Right, from a market standpoint. Right.
A lot of strength in that new construction market. Tight inventory.
Right.
Builder delays.
Okay.
Product delays. And the reason I mention that is builders were in such a strong position, bodybuilder strong position, that they didn't really have to negotiate a lot.
Mm.
Everything during the pandemic became pretty much a one size fits all.
Mm.
And it was almost across the board from builders. Now, there were a couple of reasons for that. One, design studios were shut down.
Mm.
So because design studios were shut down because of concerns out of the pandemic, builders just went to a design selection to say, okay, these are our most popular selections. This is what's going into this floor plan. This is the granite you get, the quartz you get, the cabinets you get, the flooring you get.
Limited options. Okay.
And buyers just pretty much had to give in and accept what they were doing. And at the same time, because there was such a demand of buyer pool and such a limited amount of inventory, when homes or lots would get released, they would be snapped up just like resale inventory. I can't tell you the number of buyers that I had miss out on floor plans and different house bids. It could be across the board from every kind of builder. I could name names, but I won't. But it's almost across the board from a builder standpoint. What we've seen recently is an uptick in inventory.
Okay.
We've seen a decrease in buyer demand, and we're starting to see that aspect of the new construction market normalize as well. I went for a run this morning, yesterday morning.
Okay.
And as I was going through a neighborhood that's just around the corner from where I live, I noticed two townhomes that were back on the market as new construction sales. And the reason I know they were on the market is I had a buyer miss out 9 months ago on one of those townhomes from an offer standpoint. And I was like, wow. And so, you know me, the first thing I did when I get back is I would open up my laptop and I start researching this property. And sure enough, two of the townhomes that had gone under contract were back on the market. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is I think interest rates Had a conversation yesterday with one of our lenders, and he was in agreement with me on this. Buyers that got pre-approved 9 months ago for a certain price point, if they were on the edge of that pre-approval, their upper limit of what they could actually afford, interest rates have risen, almost doubled in that time. And so that has carved some of those buyers. It's put them in an inability to actually close on that property. So we're going to start seeing some new construction come back on the market. I'm convinced of that. I did a check before we came in today. Our inventory overall, Triangle MLS, is up over 5,000 units now. 5,303 active and coming.
When was the last time we were over 5,000?
I have no memory. Pre-pandemic.
So 2019, probably.
At least. Early pandemic days, probably March, we were around 6,000. So it would go back at least that far.
So before you go on, I want to ask you this. So what is the typical average, like if it was in normal markets, how many houses were we seeing on the market?
I would say we would range between 6,000 and maybe even 8,000 in a slower market, maybe even 9,000 homes on the market.
In a slower.
Historically. Right.
Yeah. Historically.
Yeah. Looking back across the, the market of like 15, 20 years.
So this has changed quite a bit because it wasn't that long ago where we didn't really have any inventory.
We had around 1,700, 1,800 homes on the market.
And now we're back to over 5 grand.
Yeah. And that we went about 8 weeks, maybe even 12 weeks from January to about March, where we were bouncing between 1,700 and maybe 1,900 homes on the market. We're back over 5,000 now. And then relative to new construction, let me make this point. New construction,
right. We
have 1,952 new construction homes on the market, or 37% of the overall MLS inventory. And I actually think that number's low because builders don't put every house that's coming out of the ground on in the MLS right away. So we've got, I would almost estimate double that number of homes that are actually coming out of the ground right now. And so we're not going to see that slow down. We're going to see new construction continue to accelerate and pick up. It doesn't take long to drive. And one of the great things about being in real estate, if you live in Apex, you probably drive the same routes from your home in Apex to the airport or to your workplace or to wherever. The benefit of real estate is we're driving the entire triangle. So I'm in Apex one day and I'm in Holly Springs or I'm in Wake Forest where I live. There, everywhere you go, there is dirt turning. You grew up on a farm. You know dirt turning. In real estate, we see dirt turning and there are subdivisions and infrastructure coming out of the ground. So not only do we have 1,952 new construction homes on the market, more to come. There's dirt turning with infrastructure right now of homes that aren't the subdivisions that haven't even launched yet.
Yeah, I will. You know what? I will say this. Driving around, I did notice that there are some subdivisions being, they're carving them out. Do you know what I mean? They're carving them out. And I'm like going, okay, the market's starting to shift. What you called it 2 weeks ago, you said normalize, which I really like that term, by the way. And that's starting to normalize. And I'm like going, okay, if it's normalizing by putting more houses on the market, right? Well, that's going to increase competition. Then are we going to expect in housing should we expect it to drop?
I don't think we're going to see it drop. What I think we're going to do, I think we're going to see price appreciation normalize. It's going to come back to earth. Sellers in our market, and even buyers as well, in our market have gotten accustomed this past 2 years to anywhere from 15 to 20 to even 27% price appreciation.
Right.
Builders have gotten used to that same thing. I've had builders that I've been working with where they are price raising every four lots that they release. So the price point on a house, they might release four lots, and let's just say it's a $400,000 townhouse. They release four lots at a time. The next four that they release, they're going to have a 3% price increase or a 4% price increase. And we're not talking about over a year period of time. We're talking about over a month or 2 months.
Right.
Builders are having to reshift their gears as well on that because of the amount of inventory they have building up. Let me give you this example. January, February, March, early this year. I had so many buyer clients that I was working with that were interested in new construction. And, we would put our name on a VIP list. The lots would get released on a Saturday at 9 a.m. and they would be gone by 9:02. Here was the other challenge as a person representing a buyer. Trying to call new construction agents or email them, it was almost impossible to get return calls. And I'm not saying that in kind of a bad mouthing kind of way. They were as busy as they could be.
Right.
But frankly, they didn't have a need to call anyone back.
Right.
They were pretty much order taking left and right.
Right.
Couldn't keep up with demand. What shifted is now, instead of not being able to get a return call or a return email, I'm getting flooded with emails and phone calls from those agents saying, hey, did your buyer find a house? We have these three lots available. And they've had those three lots available for a week or 2 weeks.
Right.
That's a shift.
It's an absolute
shift in the market that I think is only going to continue to pick up speed and accelerate from here.
So, I mean, this is the part that I think can confuse a consumer, right? Because they're like going, well, okay, Dwayne, you're telling me that they're putting more houses on the market, but then you're also telling me that they're raising the prices with every new part of the subdivision. How can that be? How does that work?
They were raising prices.
Okay.
They're not now.
Oh, they're not now.
So now, from earlier this year, when we were seeing, or not really even earlier this year, the last 12 to 15 months, we were seeing rate increases, you know, every three or four lots that got released.
Right.
That had become the norm for, I would say, 15 to even 18 months.
Okay.
What's shifted the last 2 to 3 months is all of a sudden now, I'm getting emails from builder agents where they're actually having some price reductions, where they are actually having buyer incentives.
Right.
Oh, so incentives at like $10,000 in closing cost or a $10,000 design studio credit. And that's a shift from them saying, hey, this is the design package, take it or leave it. Now they're getting the opportunity to go in and make selections. They're having to do this. They're having to earn the business again.
So this is interesting. So we had limited options in the pandemic, but now we're coming back to that pre-pandemic look of where, okay, you know what? The design studios are starting to come back, right? And so then what's happening is now people are having more options, and they're getting more options at less of a cost than when they had limited options.
Oh, exactly.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
That's crazy.
And I'm kind of a good example of that. I bought my house. I actually closed on my house, my townhouse, March 3rd, 2020.
Okay.
2 weeks before. Remember that classic phrase, 2 weeks to slow the spread?
Right.
I closed on my townhouse 2 weeks before that period of the pandemic. And I have had so much price appreciation right now in my townhouse that I literally, and looking around at new construction that's coming out of the ground right now, I literally could sell my townhouse now with a sizable profit and turn right back around because builder prices have stabilized a little bit and almost use the same amount of money to buy new construction in the same kind of price point.
Really?
And so that's
even with the interest rate.
Yeah, I will tell you that I'm glad you brought up interest rates because I will say out loud, interest rates right now don't concern me.
Okay.
And I don't think they should concern buyers. And here's why. Has it reduced some of the buying power? Absolutely.
Okay.
If you're on the edge of your upper edge of your pre-approval, it might reset the price point that you're shopping in. But the reason interest rates aren't concerning to me, and they wouldn't concern me if I went through that scenario of selling my townhouse and buying new construction, I would lock in the rate that exists. And I think sometime in the next 18 to 24 months, I would be refinancing that rate. So I would say to everyone, buy right now.
Okay.
While prices are stabilizing, especially in new construction, a little bit of a pause in the market. Don't let the interest rate impact you or influence you, and know that you're going to be able to refinance down the road. Lock in the price right now, refinance later.
I love that. Dwayne, how can people get a hold of you?
Easy, Jay. Telephone number, 919-623-3731. Email, Dwayne R. Everybody calls me Dwayner. Dwayne R. at LindaCraft.com.
Dwayne, it's great to have you back on the show. Thank you so much. Information has been absolutely awesome. Go ahead and get Kim.
Great. Center. I will get Kim.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Talk to you later. Thanks, Dwayne. So just to recap what Dwayne said, listen, you know, here's the thing. We have been talking about a normalized market, but here's the other piece of that. It's also affected the new homes market. And one of the things about the new homes market that he was talking about is that during the pandemic, we had limited options and we were struggling to, you had to just kind of take what you could get. Now, what we're saying is that you have more options. We're starting to see more concessions and we're starting to see people being able to purchase a new home for less money because they're able to do it. Matter of fact, what Dwayne said was that Dwayne had also said that he purchased his home during the pandemic. And what had happened was he was able Now he's looking at the increase of what his home cost, and now he's able to, if he wanted to, even with interest rates, is able to get himself a, maybe sell the home, and he could actually make a profit and maybe get a, buy a new home. So really cool stuff. My next guest, of course, you've seen her before. She's been on here a lot. I think all but one show she's been on. Her name's Kim Crump. She is listing and buyer specialist with Linda Crafted Team Realtors. And I'm going to lift this up for you here.
Just, thank you.
You're welcome.
There you are.
Better? Yeah, you sound great.
Thank you.
Again, right. And so, all right, Kim. So this is our seller segment, but you approached me with something and you said, you know, I really want to talk about, you know, being a real estate agent, mm-hmm. and what that's like, and mm-hmm. how you started, and kind of tell my story, because I think there's some, you thought there would be some value in that. So where did you want to really help people understand, you know, what is the life of this? What is the life?
Yeah.
Of
this? Yeah. Well, let me start by saying there are 11,929 real estate agents in the Triangle.
11,928.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, how do you choose which listing agent is going to represent you properly?
I would say eeny, meeny, miny, mo, but trying to do that 11,928 times may be a little lengthy. Okay.
So if you needed to have heart surgery and your friend said to you, hey, my cousin does heart surgery, mm-hmm. would you just go with somebody that they told you to go with because you know them?
Well, no, I would want to. If I was having heart surgery, I want to make sure that they're competent and that they know what they're doing.
And
right. I would also interview them.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. That was my point. I would
interview them. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So interviewing agents, getting to really understand who has your best interests at heart, sometimes is a very tough decision, knowing that this is the biggest investment that most people make in a lifetime.
Right, right, right.
I will start at the beginning. When I first got my real estate license back in 2007, I was 8 months pregnant with my third child.
And she was 16. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm kidding. So back then, I also was stressed. I was huge. I had baby, but I had a goal.
Okay.
And I knew that if I didn't get my license
right.
back then, okay. it was going to be a long time.
Right.
But what I am trying to, the point I'm making is that you want to make sure that you're going to work with a realtor who isn't doing this part-time. Somebody who is in it because they care. Mm-hmm. Somebody who has your best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. We have had an increase in agents over the past year or two,
because
a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I love showing houses and it's easy money and I'm just going to do it on the side.
Right, right, right.
Well, in my experience, when I had left my exam and I passed my exam, I walked out and I was like, oh, okay, so what do I do now?
Right, right, right.
What do you do? What do realtors do
right.
once they get their real estate license?
They got to hang their license with a brokerage.
Right. Right. And then you have to get business.
Right. And then you have to get business.
And then you have to get business.
Right, 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 right.
Did you know that the dropout rate of agents within the first year of obtaining their license is 9 out of 10?
So 90% of realtors drop out in the first year?
In the first year.
Okay.
Because it's hard.
Yeah,
it's
right, hard. Right, 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 right.
You know, it's not an easy career and you have to grind and you have to do the work.
Right.
So when I first started, I tried going independent to begin with. And with three young kids,
right.
five and younger, I decided that was not a good decision.
Right. Yeah.
So then I joined a smaller brokerage and it still wasn't the right decision for me because I was ready. I was ready to work full time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Then I interviewed right. with you and Linda in right. 2011.
Right.
And that opened my eyes to a whole new world. I wanted right. to be part of a team. I wanted to learn. Right. I wanted to grow.
Right.
And the only way to learn and grow in real estate is to do. Mm. It's practical, because what they tell you in real estate school, it's not going to get you far in the real world.
It doesn't. They don't teach you that selling part, do they?
No.
I mean, they really don't. I mean, they teach you the X's and I guess I call it the X's and O's, but literally it's the T's to cross and the I's to dot.
Right.
That's really what we learn in real
estate. Exactly. It's all on paper. Right. And real estate is all about relations. Mm. And the only way to get a really good knowledge of real estate is to work it. Now, when I first interviewed with you all, mm-hmm. and I got the job, I got the job.
Yes, she does.
Because here at Linda Crafton Team, you don't just take anybody who walks through the door who just got their license.
Right.
We want to make sure that our clients get the best service possible.
Right.
Now, where am I going with this, Jay?
I'm right with you on this train.
So when I first joined, I was a buyer agent.
Right.
I was a buyer's agent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I wasn't a listing agent at first.
Right, that's right.
And the reason is because Linda Craft always said the best listing agents were the best buyer agents first.
Mm.
Why is that? Because you get to know the neighborhoods. Mm. You get to drive the streets. You get to visit new construction, meet different builders, learn how to develop this relationship with builders, and your knowledge just grows.
Right. And then you get to know the houses, right?
You get to understand floor plans. You get to see upgrades, what kind of quality these homes are built in.
You're comparing subtle differences, right? Mm-hmm. Between going, oh, now you can see the value of this versus that, which, you know, and now that I think about that, that's pretty genius, because as you're learning this, and you're registering everything that you've ever seen, mm-hmm. you're also paying attention to the prices.
Right. And you understand, the difference in age of homes as well. Mm. Selling a 1926 home downtown is going to be inside the Beltline.
Right.
Are we looking at asbestos? Are we looking at lead-based paint? And these, all of these things you learn as you show houses.
Right.
With your clients. And then after a certain 100 homes of selling, you get to become you may become a listing partner.
Right.
So I graduated.
Yeah.
And I believe it was back in around 2015 when I graduated to a listing partner. And Linda Craft was right on the money, I will tell you, because I was not nervous when I went to my first listing because I knew the neighborhood. Mm. I knew what homes sold for. I knew what to look out for as far as the quality of the build. Did they have any window issues because of the type of window that was put in the home?
Right.
So there are so many details that go into knowledge and background of a real estate agent that people don't think about. Mm. Now here at Linda Crafton Team, if you go to sell your home and you hire us, you know that you have hired extremely experienced, well-rounded agents because of everything that we've seen and gone through.
Right, because for some of you, you've been through, because you got your license in 06. So you've been through the recession.
Yes.
The major recession that we had. You've been through the pandemic and everything, which most, if you're an agent, you've been around those type of things. But you've seen market swings.
Correct.
Right. And then I think, of course, Linda's been doing this for 36 years. Mm-hmm. So she started when interest rates were 18%. So she's not phased by anything.
No.
And she kind of tries to pass that.
All the knowledge, everything that we learn. And with real estate constantly changing, we're forward thinking. We look to see, what do we really think is going to happen in the future? Because we have to prepare our clients for the future.
Right.
When a person comes to us who would like to sell their home, we will work with them on their time frame. Some people are ready in 2 weeks. Some people are not ready for months because they need the guidance to get through. So we need to prepare for what's coming in the future and what we see. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to work with a group, a team of people who are highly knowledgeable, who are going to have your back and have all the resources. Because we have so many resources from being in the business for so long that we can help you carpet, paint, whatever you need. Keep in mind, a buyer only has, do you know how long it takes a buyer to make up their mind when they walk in the door of a home? 3 seconds.
Come on.
I am serious. So So for those
buyers, statistically, they say that when a buyer chooses, it takes them 3 seconds to assess the home.
Correct, because
Do you know they talk about love at first sight? That literally is the definition of love at first sight.
It's emotional. Buyers get an emotional attachment to the home.
Right.
So if you're thinking, I'm not going to paint, it doesn't matter, everybody's going to love the yellow. Or you know what? We'll give them the option of painting. Well, you've just put another burden on the buyer's shoulders that they may not necessarily want to tackle.
Right.
So all of this thing comes back to knowledge and working with a particular seller.
Got it.
Everybody is different.
Right.
But everybody has the same goal.
Right, right.
Because
right.
everybody wants to make the most money possible.
When they're selling the house, they want to make the most money.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And
with the least amount of stress.
With the least amount of stress, absolutely. Right. So when I walk through the door, I automatically see as soon as I walk through the door, oh, wow, we are ready to go. Or, oh, boy, I can see why you said you won't be ready for a couple months. And let me say one thing, sellers. Nobody, absolutely nobody lives in the house the way they are expected to sell a house nowadays. HGTV has spoiled all the viewers rotten. All of them.
In what way? Explain that.
Oh, gosh, I have laundry baskets sitting on my floor right now. I have dirty dishes in my sink. Why? Because I work. I'm busy. That's what I do. You know, it's like that's the last thing I think of. It's my home.
Right.
It's my abode. I live there.
Right, right, right.
But when you go to sell, oh, you better wipe down that sink.
Right.
Your trash had better not smell.
Right.
Buyers look at everything. And then they also take into consideration what you haven't done, because if you haven't done that,
What else did you do?
Exactly.
You know, it's really kind of funny, you know, as a psychological professional, it's about eliminating all the senses, right? If you're going to sell your home, eliminate the smells, eliminate the things that touch.
Like odors. Dust. Odors are so sensitive for buyers.
Right.
Pet odors.
Right.
Smoke odors.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of those before you list a house.
Right.
Really important.
Visual things, right? If the room's too cluttered, right? It's a visual psychological thing. People like touch the furniture and dust comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cobwebs.
All
of those things.
Right, that they could touch, right? So, and of course, nobody's going to lick your furniture, so you're okay there.
I hope not.
Nobody's licking it. As far as you know, sellers, nobody's ever licked your furniture or licked your house, okay? Just to let you know that nobody's ever done that. But, you know, they do. They use their senses, I think. We use our senses to make decisions.
Right.
So you want to eliminate those.
Exactly. So our goal... and my point from the beginning is, and sharing my story is just to show you that this was not a quick ride for me.
Right.
It's been a lot of learning.
Right.
A lot of ups and downs with the market, the ebb and flow of what we see. But hey, I'm still here.
Right. Whereas.
And we're doing business every day.
Yeah.
We see these changes every day, and we will adapt to help people. Even more, further.
You know what's so funny? You brought up right away when you came in, you said there's 11,928 realtors in the MLS here, Multiple Listing Service. What's so interesting to me is when you gave the statistic that 9 out of 10 leave, how many thousands are not because they're no longer part of the system?
Right.
I mean, there's we never hear about them, but there are how many? I mean, there's tens of thousands of people who have a real estate license.
Dabbled or tried their hand at real estate. Because you know what? You don't have to get a 4-year degree. There are certain things you don't have to do in order to take that path. But I have a business degree.
Right.
There are other, in my couture degree as well, I have some psychology in there.
Right.
So real estate agents, they're really good ones. Most of them are pretty darn smart.
Right.
Right. But at the end of the day, it's not easy.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you establish and you choose the person who's, first of all, going to fit you right. Not everyone's going to want to work with me.
Right.
It's just a fact of life.
Right.
We all don't get along.
Right.
I mean, yes, we're kind and, you know, we treat each other with respect. However, it is a personal choice too.
Right.
Because you want to have a great relationship with who you're working with.
Right.
And I'd be lying if I said that would be everybody.
Right.
right? We of course we love all the business. We have some great listing partners. Mm-hmm. The guys on this team, they're awesome too. We work together.
Right. This is great information. You know, when you brought the subject up to me, I was like, okay, well, let's see how it goes, right? And then like I'm sitting here going, yeah, this is actually pretty cool. So I mean, I gotta say thank you because you brought this to me, and I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then
you're welcome.
And then now I'm kind of like, oh, well, this is actually kind of fun. So okay, make it easier on the listener.
Yes.
How do they get a hold of you?
That was the question of the hour. Okay, you can reach me, kim@lindacraft.com, and you can also find me socials, all social media platforms, and my phone number 919-605-6045.
And by the way, it's Kim Crump, and it's with a C, by the way, not with a K.
Oh, my last name is Crump, Kim Crump, right, with a C.
With a
That's
C.
Right. Right. And also Linda Craft is also with a C.
C. Yes.
It's not with a K.
Okay, so there we go. Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
You're great. But send Nogi in.
I will.
So just to do a recap of what we got going on with Kim. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, there's a lot of people who sell and buy real estate, and, you know, making that choice really is important because it is the largest personal, it's the largest personal investment that you'll ever make. And probably when it comes to real estate, and that is, you know, the purchase of your home. And so you want to make sure that you have you sell your home wisely with somebody who's a professional. But then I've got somebody here to my right. His name is Nogi Aramburo. He is a buyer's closing manager. Do I got that one right?
I think so. I think that's correct.
Is that correct? All right. So as a buyer's closing manager, first of all, I think, you know, when people listen to the show as a podcast or they're watching us live, right? And by the way, thanks everybody for watching us. And we're getting loves and likes as Nogi is on here. Is it common to have a buyer's closing manager nowadays? Is that common? Is that common at all?
I'm not really sure. I know definitely if you're on a team like ours, you will have a buyer's closing manager. But if you're out there in the wild just yourself, I think you're handling all of those aspects on your own.
Okay. So what is it that if somebody said, what does a buyer's closing manager do? What does a buyer's closing manager do? Help people understand what that is.
I'm glad that you asked that question, Jay.
Thanks.
So there's at least 100 steps once a property goes under contract. There's probably 20 to 30 different people involved in the closing process after you go under contract.
Okay.
Everything from the inspector to the closing attorney, to the listing agent on the other side, to the lender's underwriter, to the person providing the homeowner's insurance. So there's many people involved in that process. Mm-hmm. And what the closing manager does is basically kind of handle that whole process with the buyer to help navigate them through the under contract process.
So, I mean, I know that there's a lot of agents out there who try to handle this all on their own without somebody like you. Because there's a lot that do, you know, try to, you know, they got a buyer and they got to handle the closing on their own. Because I know you work with that. I know you've worked with other agents who don't have a closing manager like you to work with on the other side of it. What do you think is the biggest or some of the biggest challenges that you have to deal with that you provide a service for when it comes to buyers and closing the thing out? What do you think your biggest challenges are?
Some of the biggest challenges are repairs or dealing with a bank or an internet lender. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's title issues that could delay a closing, things of that nature. You know, some people just don't call you back. You know, this is a crazy market. Right. So I've dealt with people you just contact and you don't hear from them.
Right.
So I'm calling somebody's broker in charge because, hey, where's your agent?
Right.
I haven't heard from them in 2 weeks.
Right.
So those are the challenges that you run across. And if you're out there closing your own deals and you're trying to sell real estate.
Right.
And you're trying to deal with all those things all at once. I don't believe the client's going to get the best service.
Right.
that way.
So for you, when at the end of all of this, right? What are some of the things that people have said to you, you know, at the end of it, they go, Nogi, thanks so much, because I don't know if I'd have ever gotten through it. What are those things that you hear often?
It could be something as simple as helping a client with a repair vendor or help them navigate through a closing if they're out of state. They're moving here.
Right.
They can't be here physically for the closing. So it has to be a mail away closing. It involves extra steps in that. Mm-hmm. Helping a client navigate through those things. You know, as LendaCraft clients, our clients have access to our moving trucks.
Right.
So just being able to give our client a moving truck for 2 days when they just closed on their house and save them the U-Haul fees.
Right.
You know, stuff like that, our clients are real appreciative of, as well as our homeowners insurance vendors, our repair vendors and stuff like that.
Okay. So I guess when I'm thinking about your job and I'm thinking about the advantages of your job versus an agent trying to do your job, I guess one of the things I'm thinking about here is you're really kind of a specialist. I mean, you're a specialist in like dealing with problems. I know that you have your license. You're a licensed real estate professional. And I know that. But I mean, really your job is to overcome problems.
Correct.
I mean, right? I mean,
have you seen Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, sure.
The wolf.
Okay.
The guy who comes in and solves all the problems, right. Harvey Keitel.
Right.
That's what I do.
That's what you do.
I'm the wolf of real estate over here. You know, so when there's a problem, when we run into a roadblock,
right.
That's what I do. That's what Angela does, right. Our other closing manager. Right. We, you know, we try to solve these problems for the client, you know, and sometimes they could be giant roadblocks. They could be, you know, a title issue going back two closings ago, you know, so you're on the phone. You could be on the phone with the county. You could be on the phone with the attorney from two, three closings ago. You know, there's so much going on. And what we do as closing managers is try to solve that problem and get to the closing table.
Okay. So you've been here, how many years have you been doing this?
A little over 10 years.
Okay. So let me ask you this, since you've been through this pandemic and hopefully we're on the backside of it, what is the biggest difference you've seen being a buyer's manager during the pandemic versus a buyer's manager pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic and pre-crazy market, things were so different because you could get a seller to do repairs.
Right.
You know, this was pre-pandemic and pre-crazy market before you had to come out here with these crazy due diligence amounts.
Right.
And, you know, you could be under contract and find yourself with a home that needed a lot of repairs and those kinds of things. Before the pandemic, they were non-existent.
Right.
You know, because you could count on a seller working in good faith, because as a buyer, you weren't so bent over the barrel because you had to cough up so much money in your due diligence to get the property under contract. So those were some of the biggest challenges trying to navigate that. Of course, having to adjust, you know, what we do to the market, to the shifting market, because you can't approach a closing the same way you approached it in 2012.
Right.
You can't do that in 2021.
Right.
So we would see what was going on in the market and adjust to those new challenges and to those new realities in the market.
Okay. So now that we're kind of moving through the backside of this pandemic, are you starting to see at least the reversion back to some of the pre-pandemic stuff, or is things staying the same?
Definitely we're seeing that, and there's a lot more optimism. I'm an optimist anyway,
by
nature.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely seeing a change there where, you know, due diligences don't have to be as high. You're not having to overpay as much. I mean, it's still very competitive in certain price points. You know, the market is super competitive, but you're not having to be so upside down going in. And I think that levels the playing field with people, because then people tend to be they're going to be more gracious when, you don't have that, when they don't have that much of a hold over you,
right.
People tend to be more gracious, tend to want to work with you. You know, I think we're seeing a little bit of more of that coming back in.
That's really, really cool. Listen, this has been great information, and you've been an awesome guest, and I knew you would be.
Because it's my honor to be here.
Okay. But there's something else we don't talk about what you do, and that is, you're from Colombia, South America, right?
Yes.
Right, and so you speak Spanish, and you work with Spanish-speaking clients. Right?
Sí, hablo español. Muy bueno.
Muy bueno. Muy bueno. So if somebody speaks Spanish, they can also call here and they can talk to you if they're, because a lot of times, you know, I know some, you know, folks who speak Spanish go, I don't know, who can I talk to that can actually speak Spanish? They can talk to you and they can, you can answer their questions about real estate.
That's correct. I'm fully bilingual. I was born in this country, but I grew up, you know, my parents are Colombian. I grew up in Miami. So, you know, have a lot of the Latin culture, you know, basically being Latin in America and being able to speak the language, thankfully.
So
definitely when anybody calls into the office and they're Spanish speaking, they get transferred to my extension.
Right. So, tell people in Spanish, hey, listen, if you're looking to, you know, want to, you know, sell or buy real estate, give me a call and they give their, your phone number in Spanish.
Hola, my friend. I'm just kidding. Señores y señores, si están buscando una casa en el Triangle, por favor me llaman al 919-771-3609. Gracias.
That was perfect. Now, you know what? Tell people in English how they could get a hold of you if they want to ask questions about you and maybe working with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can be reached at 919-771-3609. Thank you so much, Jay Izzo. You are the bomb.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Send Bryce in.
All right.
All right. Thanks. That's Nogi Aramburo. He is the buyer's closing manager here at Linda Craft and Team Realtors. And thanks, Craig McGowan, for coming in. And so here comes our next guest. Our next guest is Bryce Williams. All of a sudden I went blank on your insurance company.
Harbor Trust.
Yeah. Gosh. I just went blank. I just lost it.
It's Fred.
It's Fred.
Nice to meet you, Fred.
Yeah. I just lost it. I just was like, I know it has something to do with the boat.
That's all right. I get that every morning when I wake up. I'm like, okay, who am I?
I really went, it's a ship. It has something to do with a ship and water. What is it? And I went, it's Harbor. Oh my gosh. It's Harbor Trust. Okay. Good. So Harbor Trust.
Yeah.
Now it is insurance, but you are a broker.
Correct. Yeah. I'm an independent agent.
Okay.
I do have my broker's license as well. Yeah. I've been around since 2001 in insurance is when I started.
Right.
I've been my agency December of 06.
Right.
And so I've had this agency now for about 20 years, not 20 years. 15 years now.
Okay.
Over. So an independent, we're supposed to be working for the client as opposed to the insurance company.
Right.
So I have a number of carriers in the agency that generally fit most scenarios.
Right.
There's some unique scenarios where we're just not going to be able to fit everything.
Right.
But we've got a good run of companies that can take care of a lot of people's needs, whether it's, you know, you have a 16-year-old that, comes, you know, gets licensed and the rates are, you're going to get that sticker shock of the rates, or it's homes that are a little bit harder to insure. Yeah. That's when I oftentimes have to put on that broker hat and and look around a little bit more than just, you know, the same place.
Okay. So you have this great distinctive advantage that you're not working with one company. You're looking out, trying to get the best price.
Correct. As best we can.
As best
you
can. Right.
Yeah.
For anybody to do that.
Correct.
So let me ask you, in the pandemic, insurance had to have an effect. Something had to be affecting insurance, just like housing market did when it came to home insurance. Was there a change for you guys? And when it came,
I hate to say there for us, we were rather insulated from it.
Really?
We just saw, there was a lot less traveling on the road. So during the pandemic, you know, a lot of our carriers issued checks to some of our clients.
Right.
And so that's been something we've had to tackle in the last month, coincidentally, is calling a lot of our clients that we were notified, hadn't cashed their checks. So it was the one time that I got to actually be a bearer of good news in a phone call, being proactive to them and say, hey, we've got money for you. So we had to track them down. I had my community chest Monopoly card. Hey, here's a check for $90. Refund came in.
Refund.
That was, for us, that was really the only thing that really impacted us, was the lighter usage on vehicles. But other than that, it didn't happen. Not much happened on the market for us.
Okay. So let's talk about homes and insurance, because, what should people know that they probably don't know when it comes to insuring homes?
So when it comes to insuring homes, kind of a comical way of looking at it is it's kind of like dating.
Okay.
All right. So the insurance companies are looking at this from a long-term perspective.
Right.
And they know that when they write a policy, they're going to be on the hook for it for a long time generally.
Right.
Unless the policyholder themselves either sell the house or they change carriers. So we're doing a lot of upfront interviewing.
Okay.
Or underwriting. So we'll ask a bunch of questions, and you want to make sure that you look as attractive as possible.
Okay.
So low on your claims history.
Okay.
You want to typically also have, ideally, the best thing is well-kept home, low claims history or no claims history, and then really good credit. That's like top tier.
Okay.
And so if you do those, like the credit aspect of it, that's kind of crept into the industry really about, started around 16, 17 years ago, and really has become the standard. Yeah, they look at all these various rating mechanisms and what they call levers and whatnot in the background. And credit tends to be a pretty significant one.
So, and of the things that you mentioned there, it's the credit's the one that you have really control of as a consumer.
As a consumer, yes. Yeah.
Right. Because the other two are not necessary. Well,
the small things, the small claims, you have a little bit more say.
So
we tend to always encourage our clients to call us if they're thinking about putting in a claim, because we want to keep you as attractive as possible.
Right.
And so when you call us ahead of time, we have a great relationship with a good restoration company here in Raleigh, a company called Carolina Restoration.
Okay.
I don't mind giving them a plug. They've been tremendous and a great value to us for many years, but we typically will look for them to, kind of take a look at things, and they don't mind going out and taking a look at it for us. A lot of them do end up turning into jobs, but they'll give us a good idea on what it's going to cost to fix the damage that occurred.
Got it.
Maybe you have a leaking ceiling, and you know what? It was only going to cost $800 to repair it and fix the drywall, and you have a $1,000 deductible. It made no sense to put in a claim ahead of time, so we kind of stopped you from putting in that claim because ultimately you were still going to have to pay that $800 anyways because it's below your deductible.
Right.
So we try to make sure we've kind of looked at it holistically ahead of time. And then if it looks like it's one of those that really does need to be put in, let's put the claim in. At least we know ahead of time what we're getting into.
Okay. Let's talk about the first time home buyer and home insurance.
Yeah.
Because to me, that seems like that's maybe not something that's on the top of your list of thinking, cause you're so excited about getting your home.
Right.
You're maybe not thinking about, getting home insurance on your home, which you probably have to have.
Yeah, I would say you've kind of got to have it. I mean, if you're one of those ones that are fortunate enough to be able to buy a house in cash, technically you don't have to have insurance.
Right.
But yeah, you need to have insurance.
If you have a mortgage, you got to have it. Right.
Correct. Yeah. Without a question.
So, I mean, how do they calculate that? How should they be calculating that insurance? Because they're looking for a house and maybe they're not thinking, is that something that the real estate agent should be doing? Talking about, or is that something that they should be maybe doing a little bit research on their own first before they go look for searching for houses?
In searching for houses, ideally you find one where, without getting too much into the realtor's job of things, ideally a house that has a roof that's been replaced. I've come across, and it was worse last year and the year before, was we had a flood of homes that came on the market because it was a seller's market that really wouldn't have come on the market, 7 years ago, roofs that were 30 years old that, I didn't have a company that would write a home with a roof that was over 25 years old.
Right.
I only had two that would do over 20.
Right.
And now we're starting to see some of our carriers scale back on roofs, where some of our carriers are just non-renewing if the roof is over 20 years old.
Oh.
So ideally finding homes where that stuff has been done is the ideal thing.
So when everything was flying off the shelves, right? So did the insurance company have to make an exception then to?
Oftentimes we would have to work with, you know, I've had probably about 4 months ago, I had a client of mine who purchased a home with a wood shake roof.
Okay.
And the house was built in 1985 and that wood shake roof had never been replaced. And I only had two carriers that would write wood shake roofs, but they wouldn't write them once they were past like 20 years old.
Oh, got it.
So I was able to work with them and they made an exception. You know, when I get the chance to talk to underwriters, we can make things happen. So okay. A lot of the carriers I've got, there are three or four of them that I can really work with.
Right.
And as long as we have a contract showing that it's getting replaced,
right,
we were good.
Gotcha.
And so he ended up having it replaced. I sent them proof of it being replaced and we were good.
That's awesome. All right. So give me your best, insurance story that you can think of when it comes to homes, an insurance home story. What's your best insurance home story that you go, okay, this one was a wow.
So the one that break out at parties that gets everybody on site.
Yeah.
So a number of years back in, you know, there's some different levels of homeowners insurance policies. There's two different forms. And I always lean on this one as a good explanation of why you should always pick up what's called an HE7 policy over an HO3.
Okay.
I had a client of mine who had a night terror and he punched in, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning. Somehow he punched through a window and severed an artery.
Okay.
Bled all over.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry for getting a little gruesome on this.
That's
one.
Okay. But no, you're good.
It illustrates the difference between a couple policy forms that we have.
Okay.
A standard homeowner's policy is typically written under an HO3 policy and gives you all risk coverage for your dwelling coverage, just the same as the HE7. And all risk means they are covering anything and everything with the exception of, for all risk, with the exception of the things that they specifically exclude.
Okay.
When it comes to the personal property coverage, so all the floors, carpet, all that stuff that had to be fixed was covered. Uh-huh. But when it came to the personal property, when it comes to that basic, the standard policy uh-huh. in North Carolina that a lot of carriers write, which is the HO3, the personal property was only named perils. So it's then they're telling you what 16 named scenarios you have coverage for. And if it doesn't fit into one of those 16 named scenarios, then you don't have coverage. We had him insured under an HE7. So we had all risk coverage for the personal property too.
Got it.
So furniture, clothes, all that stuff, the couch, the mattress, all that stuff was also covered.
Okay. So if he bled on it, it was covered.
It was covered.
Okay.
Correct. So that's one of the more, you know, gruesome ones, but yeah.
So it's really, really, and I'm assuming that an HE7 versus an HE3 or HEO.
HO3, yeah.
HO3. I'm assuming there's a price difference there. And
it's generally nominal.
Really?
Yeah, like with some of our carriers, it's actually cheaper. Yeah, okay. Because of, it's a very frustrating thing in my industry now is the pricing of it.
Okay.
Because there are so many levers and the actuarials have driven a lot of this.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily make sense to us anymore.
Right.
Because sometimes when we add on coverage, it lowers the premium because of some wonky algorithm that they have.
Really?
So I can still feel like an expert or that I have a good grasp on coverage
right.
and underwriting and all that. But when it comes to the pricing, I've had to just throw in the towel on trying to understand that. It is what it is.
Right. So you've brought a lot of notes here today. So I'm assuming that you have something on your mind you'd like to talk about.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I try to come prepared. I try to make sure I don't run out of things to say, just in case you and I just don't click. I like you enough.
We like each other enough. So, I mean, you brought some stuff to the table. What would you like? What was important to you that you felt like you wanted to share?
So an interesting one now is the rebuild value of a house. Mm. You know, okay. How do you select how much coverage you need? And right. So with that, an insurance agent should be going through a home evaluator with you.
All right.
You know, if you can look at the two different years, 2009 versus today. And in 2009, we would have these homes, people would be buying these homes well underpriced because of the market and the way it turned.
Right.
I would have to tell them over and over, you need to have more insurance on it. It's flipped right now here, especially in a metropolitan area or in Raleigh, where homes are, you know, astronomically more expensive than they were. And a lot of times the price went up $100,000 over asking price within 24 hours. Well, the rebuild value of the house didn't go up that $100,000. So it's a market value issue. You take the same house and you take it to, let's say, Burgon, North Carolina, you're going to get a very different price on the cost to purchase that home.
Right.
But the rebuild value should be just about the same.
Got it.
The exception of maybe travel and whatnot,
right,
in case it's way remote. But in those scenarios, we really lean on a home evaluator, and you really need to make sure that any agent that you have or that you're working with has gone through, and I would actually say could reproduce the home evaluator for you to kind of figure out and tell you and show you why it's insured for that much. Otherwise, you may not necessarily feel comfortable with the claim when the claim comes. You want to make sure your house is insured of value.
Right.
And there's a lot of times where somebody's, you know, kind of leaning, and I've heard agents say in the past, yeah, well, we've got an extra 25% coverage on the house, so you should be fine at this lower amount.
Right.
Well, that extra 25% should be reserved for a catastrophic situation like a hurricane.
Right.
You want to make sure that if what you're insuring the house for is what it would cost to rebuild the house in a singular event, like a house fire,
right,
where there's no impact on the cost of materials and labor. Because in a catastrophic situation, building materials and labor are going up, you know, sky high because
I was about to say,
supply and demand.
Right. Yeah. Because I was about to say, hold it here. This is kind of confusing. And I would not want to, listen, I have 15 hours of graduate statistics, but I would not want to be an actuary here trying to figure this thing out, because I'm thinking, but the cost of materials has gone up. So the calculation of that.
And that's where we have three specific areas in our agency that we'd like to write with that have what's called guaranteed replacement cost coverage. That as long as we've insured it to value and we've insured it to what it would cost to rebuild it in a singular event based on that home evaluator, there is no point in which the policy gets exhausted.
Oh.
So if it took, we have insured properly at $480,000. If it took $700,000 to put that together, you've got it. If it took $800,000, you've got it. As long as we had it insured, you know, to value, you're good in a guaranteed replacement policy.
Got it.
In an expanded replacement, that's where you've got, which is still a very popular form that gets written, you've only got an extra 25% coverage.
I gotcha.
So you insure a house for $400,000, your limit is $500,000.
Right. To rebuild, because you get, you just have an extra 25 grand.
Right.
Versus a guaranteed.
Actually, yeah.
Guaranteed. Regardless of what it costs, you're going to get that replaced, full replacement. Yep.
And the policy is a contract.
Right.
So, yeah, contractually, they're obligated to go up to the amount that they define.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Oh, I've never heard that in my industry. That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Nobody thinks
well, I mean,
cool.
It's kind of cool because I think it's because it's kind of interesting because it's stuff that I don't know. And so it's cool that I'm such a learner. And so I'm a sponge. And so when I learn something, I'm like, oh, that's really kind of cool. So you gave me some. So listen, first of all, you've been fantastic. I knew you would be.
Oh, I know. You've been phenomenal. You've
been so good. So how can people get a hold of you? And, you know, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So you can call us. And I'm a huge phone person. I think there's a lot more that gets done in one phone call than in five or six emails. Nowadays, we live in an email society. I can easily email. Believe me, I'm good on email. Right. It's a tool though. Right. Phone call, nothing beats a first phone call because I can answer, you know, four or five different conversations. I can hear whether or not I've actually explained something well. So if you want to give us a call, our phone number is 919-342-9732.
Repeat that again.
919-342-9732. And when you call, you're not going to get a confusing phone system or a phone tree or anything like that. It rings all three of us in the office. I've still got I've got two service reps, Kate and Liz.
Okay.
Kate's been with me now over 5 years. Wow. Liz is coming up on 5 years. Liz has 20 years of experience. I have 20 years of experience. But when you call, it rings all three of us. So if Liz is busy, if Kate is busy, it rings me. I pick up as well. And I try to take the load off of them. I don't like them getting them burned out or burdened. And it still plays in the back of my mind that every time I've picked up a client that says, I don't get to talk to my agent anymore, that probably still plays and is just one of those things that I can't let go. So I do pick up the phone. I am busy. So I don't get the phone every time, but I do try to make sure I pick up the phone. I'm available to the clients.
His name is Bryce Williams. He's with Harbor Trust. Check him out. Please do that. He's absolutely awesome. Like, right. I mean, people are saying, again, very informative. Great job. Wait, see, look, you got people saying how great you are. You know what? Again, go check out Bryce Williams. Check out Harbor Trust. Folks, that's the show. You know what? Thank you for watching and listening to Real Estate Right Now. We're going to be back next week with another set of great guests. We're going to have another great show. And you know what I say to you every week? You know that it is wet. Thank you so much because you have a lot of choices and you chose us. Can't wait to see you next week. Hey, give us a positive review, won't you? Ciao, everybody.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.